EFNX.com.
Live from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
How's it going, guys?
This is the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. That's Ara.
That's my name. That's Alon.
And that's Rich.
Yay!
I try to do Zoom prompt too.
Rich is very... Yes, and as you know, I require hours and hours of very finely scripted preparation.
Yeah, lack of preparation is not your strong point, but that's fine. That's okay. We will swing a fantastic show. Last week, we said that, or I said at least, that I wanted to cover a major topic of really what... What is my drive, my internal drive to play video games? Because what we do on the show is talk about the video game industry.
And, like your personal drive.
Well, yeah, but...
Because you love talking about yourself.
Not just me, but I mean people's drive in general. So I want to get people to call in and tell us what they think really drives them to play games. Or why is it that you're playing? Maybe if you're older now, how has that changed over your lifetime?
So we're actually going to be following through on what we said we're going to talk about for the next week?
Well, partially. Because we could talk a whole show about that.
We always say we're going to talk about this next week, and then we never do.
So we're actually thinking about that myself.
We kind of got called out on that last week, so yeah. I hope we can stay and actually talk about that. But I also want to talk about something that we kind of covered last week, which is the whole Kevin McCullough idiot journalist thing talking about Mass Effect. He discussed Mass Effect in some article and gave out flat-out incorrect information in some article he wrote.
That would be an understatement to say that it was incorrect. That's how bad it was.
Well, I'm not going to, like... I haven't even read the article. I read people complaining about his article.
Well, I read enough of it last show.
Well, I'm reading his apology right now, and that's enough for him to flat-out say, but, you know.
What does he apologize about? That he lied?
He says, "It's obvious that I had been misinformed on at least two points of substance in my original column."
So he admits he has no idea what he's talking about.
Yeah, and at most about 4,000 points.
He's kind of like, "I'm sorry, somebody told me this, and I believed him, so I wrote about it all angrily."
Yeah. All right. Now, I recognize the irony in the fact that in a moment I'm going to be complaining that people are opposing games without ever playing them. Meanwhile, I oppose this guy's article without ever reading it. But I don't
it's
really
different.
Care.
Different.
Yeah, that's totally different.
No, see, I read the article online.
I read articles
on the
about
show.
His article. That's all I really needed.
You heard me talk about the article, so that's enough. I give you the lowdown.
Ara is a trustful source of information, while his source was not.
Yeah, that's all I need. So
and authoritative, I might
now,
add.
I don't know if this article of his is what made Fox News pick up on it, but Fox News had a little bit. And you can go...
you gotta love Fox.
I was linked to it through joystick.com, but it's actually something from gametrailers.com. And we're just going to play that now. It's going to take several minutes. So just... I think it's important, though,
sit back,
that we all hear
relax.
Some of the stupidity. So let's just get this out of the way. Maybe
have
we can
a coffee.
Talk about our next segment.
Here play. It is.
While you're listening, of course.
We just need the sound to come through. Normal
yeah.
take care of that.
You've lost. That's a trailer, I think, for the everyone you know commercial enough. Before the movie. Everyone,
you, will all you mean the game? Die.
Yeah.
Let's finish this.
Coming. Yeah.
Here's the good stuff.
Yeah. Pretty amazing stuff. I was looking at it a little bit this afternoon.
Yeah, no sign of sex anywhere. What a surprise.
Nothing
idiot
to the imagination.
Fox News,
Mass Effect,
and of course, she's
called.
A hot blonde.
It's made for Microsoft's Xbox system, and it features some parts of this. You'll see full digital nudity.
Not
imagine.
Which
and the
you
ability
want.
For the players to engage in graphic sex,
quiet.
And the person who's playing the game gets to decide exactly what's going to happen between the two people, if you know what I mean. Now, the game
the
is
pixels
rated
are completely
M
naked.
For mature. However, critics say that Mass Effect is being marketed
positions.
To kids and to teenagers. Microsoft responded to these claims and said that they were inaccurate. They released this statement that reads in part, "We actively support and abide by all video game rating systems and provide built-in industry-leading technology such as parental controls and a family timer that empowers parents and caregivers to monitor their children's experience with video games, notably with respect to content, online interactions, and the amount of time spent playing." Cooper Lawrence is a psychology specialist, radio talk show host, and the author of
Cooper
the new
Lawrence
book, also a cult of perfection.
Psychology specialist, not a real psychologist.
Let's hear what she has
to both of you. You know, Cooper, it sort of cracks me up whenever I hear a company say that, you know, there's all these controls in there that you can monitor the time and you can, you know, but basically the box, Pandora's box is open. I mean, kids have access to these things, and unless you're hovering over them every second, they're going to find ways to see this stuff on the internet. How damaging is it, really?
Well, the thing is, you know, it's the whole concept of, like, 13-year-olds have never seen Playboy because they're not supposed to. It's that idea that, I mean, let's talk about who the video game is for. It might be for adults, but if you look at the statistics, who is playing video games but adolescent males, not their dads? So that's the first thing. The damage is this. We know that all the research shows that violence has a desensitizing effect. Well, sexuality does too, because this is when the developing mind is happening. This is when they're first...
Hang on a second. I'll tell you one thing I don't want to be desensitized for.
What's
is
it?
Sex. Let's keep that sensitivity
high. Is it not as fun then if you watch it?
I don't want to be desensitized.
It is not as fun if you're desensitized.
But let's play Mass Effect.
Let's allow her to continue pooping from the mouth.
Deciding who they're going to be, who their identity is. This is when social development is happening. And here's how they're seeing women. They're seeing them as these objects of desire, as these, you know, hot bodies.
I mean, after 6 hours of gameplay,
they don't show women as being valued for anything other than their sexuality. And it's a man in this game deciding how many women he wants to be with.
All right, let's get Jeff in on this.
All right, that's completely incorrect. Yeah, it's completely incorrect. First of all, you can actually play as a man or a woman in the game. Cooper, have you ever played Mass Effect?
No.
Of course not. I would never do that.
No, she's laughing at this.
Right. Well, I think the fact is you talked about, you know, another thing that you mentioned is that how it's, you know, has full graphic nudity. That's completely incorrect.
Yeah.
There's no full nudity in this game. There's the side of an alien boob, which can be seen. It's a small sexual situation in this game, which is about 2 minutes out of a 30-plus hour experience.
And Jeff,
the story
let me
of this
ask
character,
you
Commander Shepard.
Jeff, let me ask you a question. I have not played this game. I went on the website today. I clicked on a lot of different trailers. I tried to learn as much about it as I could before
without
we did
actually
this. You know,
playing
it's interesting.
It.
When you click on it, it asks you your age. It says you must go through a scanning process. So I thought, oh, this is going to take forever. Okay, so I put in my age, and then, boom, you're in.
She's
no
like,
problem. So that
forms.
Is a pretty easy screen to get past. There's nothing graphic that I saw on the front, you know, the pages that I looked at on the internet. But it does beg the question, you know, what it does to kids in terms of how they think about violence and sexuality, because they're, you know, engaged and blowing people away in these.
Wait, can you pause it for a second here?
It
teaches them that if you have a long relationship with a woman and you woo her and you earn her trust and respect, you might actually get to have sex with her.
Yeah, what's so ironic to me is that this game is the complete anti-example of bad social interaction.
That's the hilarious thing about it. It's so ironic.
This game is all about morality.
The whole plot of the game is like you're this good guy trying to save the universe, and there's a chick along the way, and you like her, and you have the opportunity. But it's not – I mean, this is the complete opposite of – GTA.
Yeah, if we talk about training, this game actually trains you to have healthy relationships.
Yeah.
You can choose to do bad things like kill people when you shouldn't and stuff like that, and it affects you negatively throughout the game, or at least differently throughout the game. So all their complaints are just they're completely unfounded. And if they would just look at it in the right light, they would realize that, you know, sure, if you want to argue about Grand Theft Auto, I can understand.
Yeah.
I don't want little kids playing Grand Theft Auto either. I'm all for that sort of restriction.
Yeah, this is like the worst target possible for them to pick. Yeah.
I would have no problem whatsoever handing this game over to anyone old enough to press the buttons and actually make it work.
Yep.
If you're three, I don't care. If you're good enough to make it actually work, then you're old enough to understand it.
About this, we talk about, you know, sexuality in the media. One of the great things about Mass Effect, for people that have played it know this, is a sort of a choose-your-own-adventure story, and it doesn't force you down any situation. You can actually play through this game without the sexual situation ever happening.
Right, and
the
young boys are going to be choosing not to have sex. That'll be what they'll choose. I mean,
no,
let's be realistic.
Because you get to a point, do you want to have sex?
The game, it says, would you like to have sex or not? It's
well,
the evolution
they might
of a relationship
with
characters, and the fact that this game has incredible artificial intelligence, and you can actually fall in love in this game, and it's just like modeling your life, and I think that's a much more powerful form of media.
Darling, I got to go with the research, and the research says there's a new study out of University of Maryland right now that
not
says that boys that play video games cannot tell the difference between what they're seeing in a video game and the real world. They don't have a real experience.
All right,
Jeff, thank you. It's a very fascinating game, and I'm amazed at just the artistry and what it looks like. It's absolutely phenomenal.
I think we're going to have to come back to this.
She said, Lemmy Adam.
All right, thank you very much.
Lemmy Adam.
You're to Arizona's news talk leader, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Ara.
I'm Alon.
And my name is Rich.
We do the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show here. If you want to learn more about the show, head over to chatterboxgameshow.com. You can join in our live chat, even email Ara and I.
And if you want to give us a call, if you want to make a comment, or if you work for Fox News, 866-536-1100.
Please do, and we're going to be talking in the next segment about what drives you to play video games. Perhaps if you're older now, like myself and Ara, what's changed in your life, and how you sort of relate to games now versus years ago. But for now, Ara wanted me to
we need
play
to
a little bit more.
Finish what we started here.
Yeah, I have one clip that I want to play. Ara has another one. Before we do, of course, though, I need to mention our wonderful sponsor, UAT. That's the University of Advancing Technology. I was actually just there recently. Like last week, I think. Rich, have you been inside the dorms there?
Very briefly.
I think I've mentioned the dorms before.
Yeah.
Have you been inside the classrooms?
Yep.
No, but like the reason I mention is because you both know that I built a rock wall in my house, a rock climbing wall in my house, and just finished it this weekend.
So now you're like, you sleep on the rock wall.
Well, no.
You're so into it.
Because it's vertical, but both of you helped me build it, so I appreciate that. But when I went to the dorms at UAT, they have this flat brick wall that's like 50 feet high and 40 feet wide.
Yeah.
It's just, I look at it and go, wow, that'd be really awesome. Awesome for climbing. And if I think if I went to that school, I could totally convince them.
Maybe you should be like that crazy French guy who climbs up buildings with his hands and no rope.
Maybe.
No, don't do that.
Climbing up the brick might be a little bit hard if it's flat.
Maybe one day.
Get a
anyway.
Hole
all right, let's get
I'll
down to business.
I'll put pictures up in my house sometimes so that the listeners can see.
So
anyway, here's... Here's the dumb psychology chick talking to Jeff Keighley.
I want to illustrate a point here, so roll it.
We actually talked over Jeff Keighley's name earlier. I want to give him credit. He's been on our show before. He's a great guy. He does some shows, even though they got canceled.
He was awesome.
On G4. He knows what he's talking about, and he did a great job with this interview. Oh, we don't have sound. Darn it.
I could, you know what? I could, like, role play. I could, like, pretend.
This game has incredible
right,
artificial
Keighley.
Intelligence.
And
you can actually
you
fall in love in this
to.
Game. And it's just like modeling
right,
your life.
You
and I think that's a much more powerful form of media.
Darling, I got to go with the research. And the research says there's a new study out of University of Maryland right now that says that boys that play video games cannot tell the difference between what they're seeing in a video game in the
right,
real world
go.
If they don't have a real experience.
All right, Jeff, thank
well,
you. It's a very it's a fascinating game. And I'm amazed at just the artistry and what it looks like.
Let me add him, Martha.
Let me add him. Okay.
I love that bit.
Okay. I want to a few points here. Okay. First of all, right in the beginning, right? Jeff Keighley says, "Oh, the game doesn't have full frontal nudity," right?
He says,
but
"You're
what,
completely
what is
wrong."
It? Right. And they have absolutely no answer to that because he's correct. And what text remains at the bottom of the screen on this whole time?
New video game features full digital character nudity.
Okay. So That's like in the first minute that was established to be completely wrong, and yet they leave that up there, right? So I don't know what's going on with that. Second thing is, okay, this woman, right? First of all, she's like, darling, blah, 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 blah.
Sexualizing him.
Well, the thing is, like, this is a really interesting, like, I like to analyze social interactions, right? And this is a very interesting interaction because she calls him darling, right? And then after that, she's like, let me at him, Martha, or whatever, right? And she's really, like, what she's doing, she's kind of like...
She's trying to enforce dominance.
Exactly. It's like, because she knows she has no leg to stand on, you know. She's a psychology, like, enthusiast or whatever they said in the beginning, right?
And so I would say hobbyist, given her knowledge so far.
Yeah. So, like, I don't know who this person is. She comes off and she's placed in this authoritative role, and she's spewing this garbage, and...
Wait, she's the psychologist person?
She's not a psychologist.
She's the psychologist expert?
She's not even an expert.
I don't know. She wrote a book. Maybe
okay.
She had some credentials, but
and so she's
didn't earn
calling
them.
Keighley darling?
Yeah.
So the point is,
and then
right?
Saying, let me at him.
The point is, it's like an emotional exchange. It's not a logical one. So, right?
This is so, Fox News for you.
The basis of this whole thing is not on any fact at all. It's just appealing to your emotions, right? So the people who listen to this, who watch this, right? They don't get an informed opinion. They don't get any information that's real. They just get this, you know, this garbage getting slung back and forth. And ultimately, they don't get an accurate or fair idea of what it is they're even talking about here.
Yeah. And you know what? We spend a lot of time in many shows picking apart mass media And Fox News is especially easy to pick on because they're so moronic.
It's so easy.
But it's just, when you see things this blatant, you have to bring it up. And there's something that I'm going to play here now.
Lemmy Adam? I mean, what is this? What are they going to do, mud wrestling?
Yeah, I know. Listen, she wouldn't be my first pick for a mate either. So here's another person. I don't even know who she is, but she's sitting at the desk with three other people, and we skipped a bunch of what they were talking about. But I just want you to hear this part where she talks about AO ratings. Not the psychologist chick, somebody else.
Coming out at Christmas. We'll give you all the details.
Yeah, I'm not sure why it didn't get an adults-only rating. That's the highest rating that it can have. So first of all, this board that rates them needs to have their head examined. And this...
Yeah, but...
Did you all hear that? So
because
Mass Effect obviously
deserves the highest rating possible.
And filled
because
with
we're talking about it.
Two people talking at once isn't going to work for me, all right?
Okay.
Yeah, obviously they need to give it the highest rating possible because they're talking about it on the news.
She's an idiot. And the other... You know, the blonde one who's involved in the interview part, she was earlier or at some point, she talked about it being like a movie experience. They're like, yeah, it is like a movie. You ever see a movie, you see half a boob and it has to get an X rating? I've never seen that before.
It happens all the time.
Yeah. I've seen PG-13 movies that show full frontal nudity and have sexual innuendo and all that stuff. And I'm talking about like I'm picturing Just One of the Guys. You guys ever see that movie? You've never seen that movie. You're too damn young. You ever heard of that movie?
What movie?
You don't watch movies. Anyway, normal people listening to the show might remember the movie Just One of the Guys. PG-13, it's from like 1985 or something.
I know what you're talking about.
All right, yeah. Full frontal nudity, PG-13, and all sorts of stuff.
It's the only PG-13 movie with full frontal nudity, I believe.
I don't know.
Lots of sexual innuendo. Yeah. A whole bunch.
I did see Catholic High School Girls in Trouble. But
all right.
I don't think that was rated PG-13.
So this has half a boob on an alien, which, I mean...
Human-like.
This girl is...
They're just making up stuff. It's just like this imprecise like battle of emotions where it's like nothing. It's like this amorphous blob of like, this is wrong, can't examine.
It's like they're freaking out over seeing half of a blue boob.
Yeah.
That's really all it is.
It's blue.
It's a half of a blue boob.
And yeah. That's like you saw more in like X-Men the movie.
Way more.
When you saw Mystique?
Mystique.
That's way closer to full frontal nudity than Mass Effect ever comes to.
And way bluer too, probably.
Oh yeah, way bluer.
Ironically, she's wearing a blue dress, this woman in the video. But I'd really like. I get the feeling that she's part of like the Fox Roundtable that's there often, and it just scares me that her voice is heard on more than one occasion on public airwaves. So.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Are we done with this yet?
I'm done.
I have one final comment. I have one final comment, okay? Okay. Just think about this, guys, right? You guys know what Mass Effect is like.
Oh, yeah.
And you guys know how wrong and misinformed this entire conversation is. If people in the media can get something that you know about this wrong, just imagine how wrong they are about all the other things you hear about that you don't know about.
Oh yeah, was I telling you or Rich about that movie I saw recently that told us all about how income tax was all a big farce? No.
No, I missed that one.
Nah, you're telling me.
It's the man. It's bringing us down.
Yeah. You can avoid
income tax is illegal.
But yeah.
America, freedom to fascism, baby. Go check that movie out. You could totally torrent it real
fast.
Are we
talking about video games?
No,
or
are we
talking about things?
See, somebody said jump the shark earlier, so it's in my head. I skipped topic. So we're about to close out this segment, but we'll be back in a couple minutes. And so let's start it up. I want to talk about what is our drive. I've been overusing that word.
I'd like to know what Fox News anchors are driven to play also.
Jax? I don't know.
Jax. Poker?
So anyway, what's your drive to play video games? I'd like to get some callers in here. So call, get ready, and we'll speak to you in the next segment. But the reason I bring this up, and I mentioned this last week as well, is that I'm becoming a little aged. I'm going to have a birthday soon. And
I think I see a little white hair coming off.
Yeah. I'm not quite as ancient as Ara.
Flowing ocean of ado.
I don't have the same life experience that Ara has. But
You're too kind, sir.
Yeah, I know. But I know, like many other people who are past the age of 10 or 12, that your interest in various things, not just video games, but... You know, in the context of this program, video games wavers, roller coasters over time, right?
Sure. You become also more and more surly with time.
Okay, I guess that's true.
Which one can use to their advantage?
I think what you might be able to do, though, is try and draw some conclusions about the type of person who might be drawn to play video games in general, right? And I mean, we certainly all have preconceptions. For instance,
dorks,
lonely men who don't go to school or have jobs,
geeks,
and just sit in their parents' house.
People who have dungeons in their houses,
you know, might play a lot of video games a lot. Whereas other people with more exciting, happy-go-lucky lives, maybe they're not interested in playing because they're interested in doing real-life things.
Never heard of it.
Maybe they can articulate speech.
Well, I'm curious, what game is good enough to draw me away from my normal exciting life? Like, what sorts of games actually give me an interest?
Sex simulation.
Well, Mass Effect.
Full frontal nudity.
All right, answer some of those questions by phone, 866-526-1100.
It's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's number one. Woo-hoo!
And we're back, Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show with Alon.
And Ara.
And Rich.
And so we're on the air. We're talking about
that was good.
That was good. So we're talking about the video game industry and things that affect it, and people like myself who like to play video games. And I was asking a lot of core questions that are core to my belief system and my way of life. Now, we all play games a lot.
Belief system?
Yes.
It's like you believe in the almighty Xbox and
something like that.
You can have a belief system based around video games.
It's ironic
you believe
that we were discussing
video games
religion.
Can be fun.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe I'm just on this religious kick because of the chat room discussion.
Yeah.
I believe maybe your question is over the head of our listeners. I don't know.
Well, let me simplify it and put it like this. When I was however old I was when Street Fighter II came out, and on the Super Nintendo, I mean, probably like 13 or something. I don't remember the year. I played that game every single day when I came home from school. Came home because I loved it. Played it in the arcade a ton. Finally came out. I plopped down my $75. I don't know how I made that much money, but I bought the game, and I played it, you know, at least a few minutes single day.
It was drugs, wasn't it?
I don't know. So, played it a lot. And then time went by. Became a little older. Didn't play video games as much. Went to college, and I was pirating video games like a madman. Having a new game all the time made me want to play them even less. And
interesting how that works, by the way.
Yeah. Well, the value of something that comes easily is greatly decreased. So not spending the money on the video games made them less valuable. So I'm glad that I've moved on a little bit in life and can enjoy the games since I might actually pay for them now.
Once in a while.
Well, yeah, on occasion.
Doesn't that just mean you play less games?
Pretty much.
Doesn't mean that you value them. I don't know.
Well, we can talk about that later. That's
a
more social
discussion.
Dynamics that we can discuss. But I played a lot, and I was this lonely kid, didn't have a lot of friends. I mean, I had a few friends, but you know, when I come home from school, I wasn't going out doing a bunch of stuff every day. And so I had this motivation. Basically, because I had nothing better to do, I think is what it came down to. And nowadays, I find myself not playing a lot of video games unless they're genuinely fun. And it's this great filter that I'm able to determine what game is fun or not, not just because I spent a lot of time with it. And I've never spent a lot of time with RPGs because I was convinced that they were always incredibly boring.
I still need to fix that about you.
That's not happening. But I certainly wouldn't spend the time that I have now, which I consider much more valuable.
Yeah, you know what's really funny, actually, that you're recanting this? I find several parallels with my life, my past.
I thought you might.
But at the same time, I find that, you know, now, especially in my adult life, right, there's a lot of games where I think maybe 10, 15 years ago, I would have been like, okay, I'll totally all up in this game, you know? And all, you know, all day long, whatever, right? And now, even if it's an awesome game, even if it's a really kick butt game, right? Even still, now it takes a lot for me to give up the things that are in my non-virtual life, as it were.
Which is ironic, since I happen to know you do an awful lot of nothing from time to time.
No, I do an awful lot of. I have many, many different responsibilities.
Is that it? Do we grow up and find other pursuits?
Well, yeah. I mean, to me, I don't know. See, it's really funny because let's find an example like Rock Band, right? I mean, I've kind of alluded to this before, right? I wanna play Rock Band so much, and at the same time, I just keep finding better things to do.
What could be better than Rock Band?
Well, this is the thing. I mean, just like there's all different kinds of things that I do in my life, and it's really funny because I totally know, I have this feeling that if it were like 10 years ago, 15 years ago, Rock Band would be consuming a lot of my life, and now it's not, and it's like I have this desire to play it, but then I'm like, wait, I can do these other things, and those other things, they're just, I don't know.
Yeah, but some of those other things are also really boring.
What are you going to do, read a newspaper?
No, come on.
Right, like I find myself just sitting around watching TV because I want to relax and not think.
No, well, there's some of that.
And it's bad television.
There's some of that, but I mean, I'm talking about things like, you know, like I have like some pursuits on the side. You know, whether it be like, you know, I'm doing this like t-shirt thing, like I'm making a whole bunch of t-shirts. I got like this music thing I do on the side.
Why have we never talked about your t-shirts on the show, by the way?
Because I want to like build up, you know, build up a repertoire before I start like pimping it out too much.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, I've got like that. I've got like, you know, obviously like, you know, there's relationship stuff, which is, you know, far more prominent in my life in the latter years than it used to be.
Yeah.
There's, you know, masturbating is always very important.
Yeah, it does take a lot of your time.
We can't really, you know, decry the significance of
that. March Madness is coming up in a month.
Well, you see, with age, you know, you have to find new ways.
Whatever.
To seduce yourself.
That's never been a problem.
Okay. Great. See, it's great, though, that we have Rich to hang around with. We've got this.
I didn't do it.
We've got this wide variety of ages, because Rich is still in that young.
I'm playing video games.
You know what it is? Every game is awesome.
It's because you don't see your mortality. You see an eternity in front of you. You can spend the next 7 years wasting time playing bad games.
Yeah.
What else are you going
to
do?
Check this out. You know, we go to the rock gym, right?
Yes, we do.
That's something
we built a climbing wall. Yeah. I helped you with that. I took some time off playing games.
I had to beg you to come over to help with that.
No, the first time you called me, it was 11:40. Maybe it was 10:40.
It was 10:40 at night.
It was like 11 o'clock at night, and I was like going to bed.
Can I ask you, what do you do now? Are you going to school?
Why?
Are you going to work? What do you do?
I do nothing.
That's right.
So
the fact that you even went to bed at 10:40.
It's 11 o'clock on whatever day, and you're calling me up, and I'm like, dude, I'll come over tomorrow. And you're like, come over now. We're building
a wall.
Do you
know what happened? I almost broke my arm that night because
you
weren't
there. And
I can't feel my index
finger now. We're way off topic right now.
I don't even know what you guys are talking about here.
Building the climbing wall.
We're building a climbing wall. I'm saying I take time off every now and then to build a climbing wall for a
while. All right, I was about to like switch the station to like listen to Jazzy or whatever. You guys are so confusing.
Yeah.
All right.
Sorry.
So,
back.
It's okay. I'll forgive you.
We derailed.
All right. I'm talking about the reasons that I play games or don't play games lately. But how much time do we have left, Norm? Two and a half minutes.
I got an interesting point to make here.
Okay. We got a caller.
All right.
Let's take him now or take him later.
Let's take the caller.
You're the boss, Applesauce.
All right. Well, listen. Penn calls in every week. We didn't.
We banned him last week.
Yeah. Last week we didn't let him on. So let's bring him back on. Penn, you're on the air.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, what's up? Hey, you should really use a different name every time so people think that our caller base is much more expansive than it really is.
All right, I'll remember that for next time.
And then use a different voice as well. Modulate your voice to sound different as well.
All right,
anyways.
No problem.
All right, so, Penn, why do you play games?
I play games for the challenge. I like figuring it out. It's like a puzzle to me. And I always look at it as me versus the game designer. So whenever I play a game...
Like you get really pissed off and you want to like just punch him in the face?
Yeah, exactly. Like I like it when you think of something clever to do in a game. Like, for example, Hulk Ultimate Destruction. I figured out that if I keep replaying these missions over and over again, I can level up so that all the other missions are easy. And then I applauded when the developer went, well, some things you can't upgrade until way later on in the game.
You know what? That's a fantastic point, and I hate that example, but the point you were making, really, like, that is so awesome, because I always think of video games as being a conversation between the designer and the player, right? And when the player actually feels like they're on the other end of that, like, that's just the sweetest feeling in the world. So thank you for saying that, even though I hated the example.
Don't like Hulk
just the
Ultimate
Hulk Destruction?
Well, no, just because, like, oh, I can... because that kind of mechanic just sounds retarded. But anyway.
Well, otherwise he would have just leveled up really early, and the rest of the game would have been like kill.
Yeah,
kill,
it would
kill.
Have been. I would have essentially ruined the experience.
So
for
is
myself.
The designer pre-thinking somebody's just gonna do this, and then go, let's not let him do that, and so they're like, haha. Now you can't do this.
Yeah, so that's,
so
that's a little pedestrian,
touche,
right?
Touché, designer.
Don't you think it's also a little strange that he would actually defeat the game for himself, just grind away and make it boring not only during the grinding period, but then in the later period when it becomes too easy because he grinded so much?
Some people like that, actually. And yeah. I used to like that, and I got totally burnt out on that type of...
Not a fan of that.
That type of gameplay, right? That type of pattern. But yeah, it's really interesting. Some people like that. You know, there's a kind of like, I don't know, I think that there's a kind of like safety that a lot of people like to feel when they're playing a game. And if the game gives them a device to do so, they'll always like kind of try to seek like this static level of safety using, you know, whatever means the games allow them, which, you know, if it's leveling up until you feel safe enough to kick butt everywhere, it's doing that.
Well, this example actually makes me realize another part of my choices that has changed. Like back in the day, as I'll refer to it. I would play games with the goal of beating the game, right? Whether it's because I wanted to have a higher number of games that I've beaten, but I never kept track of that anyway. So the point is, I might do something like that, grind a lot so I can just cruise with the game. Whereas now, I play a game to experience what was put on the table for me, right? What the developer wanted me to experience, what's in this game. And so I won't just do something idiotically for the first half to make the rest really easy to pass through. I want to actually, right. I want that challenge. I want it to be difficult. I'm not going to use the special shell thing that lets me cruise through the game and do it easily.
Right. I've gotten tired of that sort of thing, particularly like these kinds of things that have surfaced with the Xbox achievements. Like, oh, on level one with like, you know, do this without using your sword for like 30.5 seconds and like dodge 12 enemies, like this ridiculously precise challenges. Like, what is that? That doesn't make sense. Why would I want to do that?
Yeah, we'll give you some more time, Penn. Stay on the line. We'll be back.
Back, ladies and gentlemen, women, children, it's Chatterbox, video game radio. I'm Ara.
I'm Alon, the blue-boobed alien.
And I'm... Sorry, I find that very amusing.
Very disgusting, if I might add.
This show should be adult-only rated, and we should... Rah! This show is worse than Howard Stern, because we're talking about blue boobs.
All right, so we kind of cut off Pen 15. When we brought him up before. Let's bring him back.
And by kind of, I mean totally.
Well, a little bit. I mean, he was saying that he plays games for the challenge. I don't know if I necessarily believe that. I think there's more to it.
I believe
him. Because a game can be challenging and not fun.
All right, what's up, Mr. Penn?
Well, I mean, back in the day, I grew up with NES games, so back then all the games were challenging.
Yeah, like Ghosts and Goblins?
Fun. Yeah, oof. Games like that. Like a Ninja Gaiden when there would be a jump and an enemy would spawn just as
like
you
right
jump.
There. So it's either you miss the jump or you die.
Yeah.
My hand's still hurting from that one.
And I beat it because at the time I had no other games. I would only have like maybe 3 games a year. So
you hit that
and
Mike
no choice.
Tyson's punch out.
Yeah, that's the thing. Actually, if I can interject real quick, the hilarious thing to me is that when I was a kid, and maybe you guys can relate to this too, I had so much more patience for the most excruciating, ridiculous, unreasonable gameplay you could imagine.
I never had patience playing games. If it was like, if I had to spend 10 minutes on one thing, I'd just be like, oh, well, next game. Or
that's
like,
because
next
you're
thing.
Too young to remember when there weren't games, dude.
No, I'm not too... Okay, when there weren't... Yeah, I am. I've had games like forever.
Have you ever owned an Atari 2600?
I haven't, but my cousin did. And
but
I remember
cousin,
playing that.
All right,
was
weird.
Anyways.
Back to Tower
of Terror.
I'm curious what Penn thinks about this.
It was
though.
Made of plastic.
About what exactly?
About when you were a kid, did you feel like, you know, when you were playing Ninja Gaiden or Ghosts and Goblins for the 30 millionth time?
Castlevania.
Or whatever, right? Would you like totally be playing that right now and be like, oh, that's awesome. I've gone through this section for like 14 times in the past, you know, 8 hours now, and I'm still playing it, or what?
I think I still have the exact same tolerance.
Really?
I don't know if that's a good or bad thing.
Well, I am impressed, my friend, because I definitely don't.
Well, what if you played? What if you were playing an old game that you had never played before that was equally as frustrating? Do you think you'd still like it, or is it more of a retro goggles like nostalgia?
Gradius, I played and beat, and I was screaming all the time.
Yeah.
It drove me crazy. But I was the same way when I was a kid. There's no difference.
So you're just psychotic in nature that you play games even though you hate them?
Well, to me, that's the fun part. Like, it's possible. If nobody ever beat the game, then I would never try it because there's no point. But obviously, somebody reached the end. So that means it is humanly possible, and it's sort of just testing your own capabilities.
Are you the type of person that breaks controllers when you get mad?
Not since my SNES days.
Okay.
So technically, I have more patience because I don't break my controllers
anymore.
So
wait, you've actually broken, like, NES and SNES controllers?
Those things are indestructible.
Those things are like bricks. I've never seen one break, personally.
I've had to buy at least 8 or 10 of them.
That's a bigger headline than Mass Effect.
What?
No, that's because he was buying third-party ones that are built like crap.
Maybe.
Well, I had the originals, which I broke, and then I had the third-party ones, and then eventually I did get the originals.
I knew you were a third-party buyer. I could just tell it.
Did you just, like, fling them across the room, or did you, like, viciously, like, tear them in half over your knee like a wrestler?
Actually, I was more into the slamming them on the ground and swinging it than spiking it on the ground.
My brother is one of those that used to break controllers a lot, and then I would go, no, don't break it, and then we'd have to buy a new one. Mostly like PlayStation, those are very easily breakable.
I wonder if this tangent is actually dumber than our non-video game rock wall tangent.
Dude, and breaking controllers is fun.
This is gold we've got here. You don't get this on other shows.
Have you ever broken like an entire system out of anger?
Never that bad.
Okay, my brother broke his Game Gear.
Well,
out of anger,
you'd want to break that even before you put a game in, honestly.
Yeah. So basically,
especially when you fired it up and you hear that sound coming out like,
maybe that's why I just never played games when I was frustrated, because
I tell you what, I'm frustrated because we did not delve into this topic as much as I wanted to.
You want
to
know why I play games? I play games because they're fun.
Okay, that's a total cop out, right? This is what I'm talking about.
Well,
Penn was on the edge with this challenge.
Oh,
BS.
Okay.
You're going into even more BS. Oh, it's fun.
Well, okay.
Come on, guys, let's talk about something real.
I mean, why do you do anything that's entertaining?
Hey, thanks for the call,
entertaining,
Penn.
Right?
Yes, but I mean, here, you know, we're like scientists.
Okay.
We like to
delve
a little deeper.
It all depends on the type of game, I think. You
right,
know, like,
but we like to articulate a little better than,
like,
oh, it's fun.
Why do I want to play Mass Effect? Because I enjoyed the story, I enjoyed the characters, I enjoyed experiencing what those characters go through and going through all of the, you know, that stuff.
But
shooting people.
Yeah, but instead of saying that I like it because it's fun, you're now saying like,
but
this is fun and that's fun and that's fun and that other thing over there is fun.
Okay, well, like Pen15 said he plays games with the challenge, but like single player games, I always put it on the easiest mode possible because I play it for the experience of the game. But multiplayer
games.
You just want to see it on easy.
I always play it on easy. Why should I yell at a game when I just want to experience the game?
He doesn't want to be challenged.
If I'm playing multiplayer games, if I'm playing Call of Duty 4, Halo 3, you know, Half-Life, whatever, online, I'm playing against people, so it's going to be difficult because
I'm playing against other people. You're hitting on a really interesting point.
And that's
point.
Fun. It's
okay.
challenging when I'm against people, not against some broken
design. Check this out. This is actually a very interesting thing you brought up. Now, a lot of times I noticed in my past years playing games, when I play a game that has a very heavy narrative, right? And I think this happens almost exclusively with games like this. Let's say, like, Silent Hill 4. We're running out of time, aren't we?
Yeah. Penn had more things to say, by the way. I wanted to say that...
Maybe next week.
Well, he wanted to say he plays games for interesting mechanics as well, might be something like...
I had such a good thing coming up here, but we're going to have to leave it on because...
Challenge is key. Putting stuff on easy
only
is
multiplayer.
Friggin' lame.
No, you
only
know what?
Good,
I was about to
it's
defend
only
him.
Good in multiplayer
I was about
or
to
score
defend him.
Comparing.
Call of Duty score. If I played through on easy,
right,
it'd be so
scoreboards,
lame.
Scoreboards, challenge, yeah. Because you want to beat your friend's score.
I'm going to hold
how
this
How about
shot.
Just experiencing the game?
Well, like what?
How about you?
When
I
want
to have to hide
when I
from
played
bad
the campaign
guys.
In COD 4, I played easy, and then I played online, and I played people, and it was difficult. Two very different dynamics of the
well,
game.
Well, I've only played the single player, and if I played on easy, it'd be lame.
If you play on hard,
it's
you
not
get
to
80
watch
grenades
the
thrown at you. It's not fun at
you
all.
You guys are totally stealing my spot,
okay,
so you're going to get smacked,
time
and
now.
You're going to get smacked, and you guys are going to hear about it next show on Chatterbox.
We'll be back next week, everybody. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info in the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.